Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'ina wa ba'd. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and bless all his companions. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all those who have struggled and strived to bring this deen, this religion to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us together with them and to bless our offspring, those to come up to the day of Qiyamah, up to the day of judgment. May Allah keep us all steadfast on this deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all every reason to smile in this world as well as in the next. Ameen. Honored ulama, scholars of deen, brothers, elders, sisters, and mothers in Islam. Indeed, it is an honor and a privilege to be standing in front of you conveying the message that has been delivered by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The message, the source of which is the Creator himself. Every single one of us who is gathered here this evening is gathered because he or she would like to listen to some words of advice taken from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. And at the same time, every single one of us feels that we would like to leave here this evening having benefited in one way or another. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the very outset to grant us benefit from that which will be said, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who can be granted knowledge that is beneficial, and to protect us from knowledge that we will make no use of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, really, as is in the supplication of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن بطن لا يشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. O Allah, protect us from knowledge that we will make no use of, and protect us from eyes that will not cry for your sake, and protect us from a heart that will not tremble in fear of you, and protect us from a stomach or a soul that will never be filled or content, and protect us from those prayers and du'as, supplications that are not answered. Ameen. We all know that the topic this evening, as has been advertised, is connected to marriage and family life in Islam. And we are all aware that the world is changing. People's ideas are changing. The world is becoming more modern. Technology is at a height where we see every minute there is some form of progress. Amazing. People are now in touch with those across the globe whom they would have never dreamt of being in touch with, literally by the click of a finger. The world has become a little global village. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of this in the Quran. There are several verses where there is a prophecy of the fact that the world will become a very small global village. Literally a village. Allah says in the Quran, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِي الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. Do they not see that we come to the earth and we reduce its sides? We reduce the sides of it. What is meant by that? There are several scholars of tafsir who have spoken and who have interpreted this verse in many ways. And now that we have seen the world coming into this little village that we are speaking about, we understand the tafsir that makes mention of the fact that the world, as big as it is, will become so small, not in size, but in communication. that is part and parcel of the miracle of the Quran, where this has been predicted. So, what is it that we need to know? We need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in pairs. And not only us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in pairs, but almost every creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created in pairs, including part of the atoms of the environment created in pairs. You have positive, you have negative. Electricity, you have positive, you have negative. Human beings, you have male, you have female. In fact, everything I can think of has that element of a pair in it. Without that pair, or without the pairing, it would be impossible to achieve even a glass. Because all the molecules that are connected to one another are connected in pairs. We ask Allah to grant us that understanding. Tonight we are speaking about the pairing of ourselves. Because family life is very closely connected to marriage. If there was no marriage from the beginning, would there be any family life? And it is very amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us through the Mubarak lips, the blessed lips of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what to look for in a spouse. So, a female is to look for certain qualities, and a male is to look for certain qualities in the person he or she would like to marry. I feel that nowadays we generally become oblivious of this because there are several factors within our environment that are so powerful. They have made us forget that we have to look for certain qualities. And this is why you find sometimes the divorce rate is so high, because of these adverse effects of the environment and certain issues that we have allowed ourselves to fall into, such as the television, for example. And I will give you a little bit more of detail when it comes to that example. These elements around us make us think that we just need to look for beauty. We need to look at the looks. We need to use our eyes to decide whom we want to marry. That is what is happening, sadly, across the globe at large, whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or deny it. It is a fact. I am not saying that in Islam we are not meant to use our eyes as well. But that is not something that we need to make the deciding factor. No, in Islam. When we marry as Muslims, yes, there are certain qualities that we need to look for. In a nutshell, if I were to tell you that a man must look for a woman who is fit to be the mother of his children, in a nutshell, that would be correct. And a woman must look for a man whom she feels would be fit to be the father of her children. In a nutshell, that is correct. In detail, if we are to look at that, what do you want from your children? There are youth here who are not married. May Allah grant you spouses who will be the coolness of your eyes, both male and female. And there are those who are married, who do not have children. May Allah grant you offspring who will be the coolness of your eyes. Those who are married, who have children, may Allah make those children the coolness of your eyes. And may Allah make my children as well the coolness of my eyes. But every single one of us, we come to realize sometimes when it is a little bit too late, what marriage is all about. Sometimes after you have a child or two, then you realize what were the qualities and why they were so important to look at. But still we ask Allah to grant us guidance and to grant us happiness. What would we want from our children? We would want them to have a decent, upright upbringing, full of modesty, with a link that they should develop with their Creator. Now tell me, if you have a wife who has no link with her Creator, what type of children do you expect to have? In my part of the world, they give an example and they say, you want to plant the seed of cactus and you expect apples to grow? You want to plant the seed of cactus and you expect apples to grow? So if there are no qualities that you would like in your children, in your own spouse, then don't expect those qualities in your children. May Allah grant us all protection, and may He make us from amongst those who can still turn to Him, because it is never too late. That is one of the beauties of Islam. It is never ever too late for anything, inshallah, unless death has overtaken a person. May Allah really grant us a turning point, and may He open up our understanding. Today the globe has become such that we tend to look at Hollywood and Bollywood as a deciding factor. What type of a female you have? I was speaking about the television moments ago. We are used to seeing a certain type of a body. May Allah protect us. And this is why we speak about the harm of television. Television is a tool. It can be used for the benefit of the ummah, or it can be used for the detriment of the ummah. Like a knife, you can use it to slaughter halal animals, or you can use it to murder. It depends on how you use it that would determine whether what you are doing is right or wrong. The same applies to the internet. It can be used for your detriment and it can be used for your benefit. It depends on you. What type of use you make of that internet that will then determine whether this is actually permissible or not. The same applies to any city or country. If you are in the city, there are certain no-go areas as a Muslim, and certain areas where you are encouraged to go as a Muslim, such as the houses of Allah or the masajid. So it depends where you allow yourself to go that would actually then determine whether what you have done is permissible or not. So when it comes to this tool known as the television, we should realize that there are certain programs there which are tailor-made, to destroy us in a certain way. If we do not take it, or we do not keep it as at an arm's length, we may have a problem. We need to realize that not every woman is going to be the same shape of someone we've seen on the television. What has happened with this television? Really, I am not here to bombard the television, but I want to show you how family values have been reduced. Intentionally, people have come in and thought up programs to reduce the world to a level that they are on because they cannot see others progressing. Let me tell you what I mean. Do you know that if you are a proper Muslim, you will not be drinking, you will not be on drugs, you will not be gay or lesbian, you will not have, as a male, you will not have a ring on your ear or chains or jewelry and so on. You will have every quality of leadership, because you are sober and you are truthful, you are straightforward, you are helpful, you try your best to achieve goodness and to stay away from evil. Those are qualities of leadership. Islam automatically makes you a leader just by following the rules of this religion. And you should know that some people complain that Islam has too many rules, too many regulations. I want to give you a simple example. We send our children sometimes to private schools. Why? Because we are not so satisfied with some levels in some government schools. That is in my part of the world. I don't know. Here it might be the same. Why do we send them to private schools? Because we know that there they will be disciplined. There they will have a much better education. So what happens? Does a private school have more rules or less rules? Let's be honest. It has more rules. If your sock is out of place in a private school, you may be punished. You need to wear what is known as a garter in order to keep it in place. If you do not attend specific sports in a private school, you are in trouble. If you do not wear a certain type of a blazer at a certain time in a certain way, you are in trouble. If you do not stand up in a certain way when someone enters and so on, you are in trouble. All these are rules, much more rules than government schools. But we still decide, no, it's better. Why? The more rules, the more disciplined the child shall be. The same applies to Islam. It definitely has more rules than any other religion, because the Muslims are to be more disciplined than anyone else. So we must not look at it as something negative. It is something positive. When Allah, the Creator, determines what type of dress code you should wear, it is a very positive point. What is your dress code? Allah determines, it is something very positive. So Islam by nature, naturally, will make you a leader, both male and females. That is why you find in some countries they promote vice, they promote evil, in order to reduce the possibility of someone competing with them in leadership. If you go to some of the Western countries and you declare that you are a gay, may Allah protect us all, they will grant you a monthly stipend in order to look after you. Because they are so happy with you, one less person is going to compete with them for leadership. Do you think anyone in any Western country can vote for a president who declares himself a gay? Do you think anyone in a Western country can vote for a person as a president who has a tattoo on his or her forehead, or who has big chains with earrings as a male? Can that happen? Not yet. We ask Allah that that time never comes. So those people definitely know. I am talking of the people in the West generally, those who don't have Islam. They definitely know that when we succeed in reducing the level of the human and bringing it down, naturally we will have less competition when it comes to leadership on every level. When there is chaos, naturally it is better for those who decide they don't want chaos. I want to give you one simple example. Some years ago, there was a certain president of one of the Western countries. He was caught in the act engaging in an affair with one of his workmates, if I'm not mistaken. Yet, the culture of that country allows it. But he was almost impeached. It was a big problem. Why? For our leaders, we don't want that to happen. Even if the culture allows it, even if in the country it's okay. But our leaders, we don't want that to happen. It must not happen, because they are leaders. Why do we apply this one standard for leaders, one standard for the rest? Because we want the rest to be similar to animals. Allah says, لَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. Allah says, definitely we have created man in the best of postures. Do you know what that means? Allah has created us in the best form. Imagine if our eyes were anywhere besides where they are right now. One eye above each ear. What would we look like? What would be in the front? Two noses, one nostril here and one there, then what would be where the nose is? There is no ways that anyone on earth can come up with a better shape and posture and position for man. Your hands can never ever have been in a better place. Nor your feet, nor anything else. Subhanallah. All praise is due to the Creator. He says, I created you, O man, in the best of postures. And that is a challenge. And then he says, however, then they have been degraded to the lowest of the low. Besides those who believe, there is an exception. Not everyone is the lowest of the low. Those who choose to become the lowest of the low, they have got to that state, and they have got to that status and level. But those who believe and do good deeds, Allah says, for them will be a great reward, a handsome reward. We ask Allah to make us from the latter. From those who believe and do good deeds, inshallah. So, why degrade? Because if we take a look at homosexuality and lesbianism, for example, even the pigs don't think of that. Even the pigs don't think of that. To be honest with you, if you put together two pigs of the same sex in one pen, they will spend 30 years together locked in one pen. They will never ever do a dirty deed that only man with this sophisticated brain can think about and promote and call it nature, Allahu Akbar, where are family values? What is happening to us? What happened to the brain that we have? What makes us different from animal is the brain we have. The question I have is, if we use nature to determine what is right and wrong, we still will not come to that conclusion. Never. Who is more free? Ourselves or animals? Animals are more free. They don't have police. They don't have government immigration department. They don't have this and that. They are very free. They think by nature. And that uncontaminated nature will never allow them to engage in homosexuality in any way. So why is it that with us, we don't even want to think similar to animals, which would make us better, but we want to think worse than that? I'm talking of the human at large who is promoting that. May Allah protect us. Not us, as in those who are seated here. We are Muslimin, inshallah. May Allah grant us protection. So it is food for thought. We are losing family values in the name of freedom. The word freedom is used to reduce our girls to prostitutes and to reduce our boys to people who have no direction in life, nothing at all. And the word freedom is used. I am free, you are free. And we are not to be told anything. When a child grows to a certain age, the norm is that you cannot tell them anything. They must decide. Allahu Akbar. So if we take a look at some of these programs, let me give you one example. There is a program called Big Brother. I don't know if it is shown here in this part of the world. What is the idea of that program? To reduce humanity to something below what they are right now. And I can prove it. And I don't mind anyone confronting me on this, because it is a fact. What they do, they get together different people from across the region who have totally different backgrounds, and they bring them under spotlight camera in one house for a period of 100 days, I think sometimes. It's 100 days. And everyone is watching them. All of those are dressed in a specific manner. Their activity, including their bathing and their using of the toilet, is shown on the screen. And they are looked at as superheroes. They are selected from different people who apply. And everyone is watching. The whole world is watching, to the degree that at the end of every week, one is ejected. Who is ejected? The one who is most boring. This is happening across the globe. There is Big Brother Africa, Big Brother Europe. I don't know about this part of the world, but I'm sure it is somewhere. It cannot not be there. It must be somewhere. May Allah protect us. So the viewers vote to say who is the least interesting to get them ejected from the house, such that right at the end, one person is left, they will receive $100,000 as an award. And they become heroes and they get so many contracts and what have you. What is the idea? Now what happens is, they engage in sex acts sometimes in the public eye. And those are those who are more interesting, because when that happens, by nature, some of the viewers whose minds are already contaminated will not vote for them to be ejected, because they say, this is becoming spicy. Let's leave this person in. Let's vote for those who are decent. Get them out. Kick them out. Because they are boring. There is nothing remaining. So the most loved person will be the dirtiest. And what happens? We find automatically our girls and daughters want to dress like those girls who appear in Big Brother. That is the trend. They have a jean, not a jeans that they are wearing, a jean that is slit at an angle from one end to the other, with holes at the back and the front. May Allah protect us. Where did they learn it from? Big Brother. They call it Big Brother. I don't even know why they call it that. And where did they get the trend? One of them has a haircut where the name is shaved onto the top of the head. So now everyone goes to the barber, shave my name on top of my head. Look, I'm not giving you ideas, please. But that is what we have reduced ourselves to. Then, for example, let's take a look at Hollywood. We look at those as superheroes. Fair enough, they might be superheroes on the television. take them in real life. I swear by Allah who has raised the skies without pillars. 99% of them have a chaotic life that they are dissatisfied and they have attempted or thought of suicide at least once in their lives. You name them. They have been through what I'm talking about. And we look at them as heroes. You want your family to run according to Britney Spears and Paris Hilton? Are those the ones whom you look up to? Is that how you want to dress? Well, if you want to dress that way, get ready for the same things that happened to her to happen to you. The way Britney Spears shaved her head, according to the headlines a few months ago, and she had to go into rehabilitation and so on, yet the world at that time thought she was one of the top heroes, heroines. Their lives are in chaotic order, no order, disorder, out of order. Allahu Akbar. Use the words you want, it describes them. And we as Muslims who have been given such a pure way of life, we want to choose those paths? Is that not shaitan? Don't we need to now think about it to say, look, we are, the divorce rates are so high that if you take a look, it only compares ourselves with those people there whom we are trying to watch on television on a daily basis. A lot of them have been married more than once, twice, three times, and they don't mind. They marry today and divorce tomorrow, marry the following day and carry on the other day. They had a child with this one and one with that one, and they continue until they are 60, 70 years old. You name them. Believe me, most of the names you think of, if you know any, they have the problem I'm talking about. They will come for counseling. They will come for remedial lessons as to what to do in life because they have no idea. Yet they have a following of 10, 15, 20 million, if not almost a billion people on the globe. How? And we as Muslims, what an insult it is to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we select a role model besides him. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So this is why we say that let us be careful. A lot of the young boys, they don't want to marry. And if you tell them why, they are looking for a certain shape. They are looking for a certain complexion. They are looking for a certain height. They are not worried whether that person has deen or no deen, religion or no religion, good character and conduct or no good character and conduct. They are not worried. They are worried when I walk down the streets of Colombo, people must look and say, he has a beautiful wife. This is what is happening sometimes. Then what happens? People will say that for 5 years. Chalo, for 10 years, they will say that. Then she begins to develop wrinkles on her face. Because beauty goes away. If you look at the outside beauty, it goes. But the internal beauty develops with the wrinkles. When you have the mother of your children, when she develops wrinkles and you have seen how steadfast she has been, and you have seen how much she has struggled and strived for your children and yourself, the more wrinkles she has, the more stretch marks she may have on her belly, the more she will be loved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. But when it comes to external beauty of a person who has no internal beauty, as they grow old, they become ugly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So if we take a careful look at what I am saying, if we follow what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught, he says, you want to marry, you look at the religious level of the person you want to marry. They should either be on your level or a little bit higher. That's a fact. The reason is, when you have children, you want your children to be spiritual to a great extent. How will they be spiritual if your own spouse is not spiritual? And it is more important for the female to have a higher spiritual level than the male because she is the one who is going to be spending more time with the children. May Allah grant us understanding. So when a man is looking for a wife, make sure you have someone who is on a higher spiritual level than you are or equal. Inshallah. Obviously, the hidden internal spirituality is only known by the Creator. But we can see the signs in a person. The conduct. Take a look at their character, their conduct. Talk to them. See how they communicate. Allahu Akbar. Such that when your spouse becomes angry,
How do they react? How do they speak? Do they swear the biggest of swear words? If your husband or your wife happens to swear F's and B's, may Allah protect us, your children will go right up to Z with those swear words. Yes, they will think up new swear words because that's a new generation. They progress as time passes. But if your concern is that, look, I would like my child to develop spiritually, then Islam teaches us that that will only happen if you yourself would like to change your spirituality upwards. Then your children will be able to also develop. Did you know that anyone whose parent is his or her role model has a far greater chance of success in life than those whose role models are someone else? Listen very carefully. I want to say it again. Anyone whose role model is one of the two parents has a far greater chance of success in this life than someone whose role model is someone else. And at the next level, your teacher, the one who teaches you, the one who has educated you, if those whose role models are those who taught them also stand a great chance of seeing and witnessing success. Because it is someone genuine, someone there. When it comes to the parents, someone who's there every day, you see their whole life and you live with them, so you know their qualities. Because they are your role models, you now want to be like them 24/7. When it comes to a role model who is on a television, you don't see them living. You only know them for the moment they are on that program. But when they are living with you, you see everything. That is why we in Islam are taught that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Prophet, have a level nobody else can reach. Because they were known as companions. They were in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They spent time watching his 24/7 day. They knew how he did what he did. So they were, each one of them, superstars. Why? Because they lived with the superstar, the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is what made them companions. They were not just known as friends. Nowhere in the books of hadith will you find a description saying that those are the friends, meaning using the word friends over the word companions. They are known as companions. Because companionship is what develops a person. يُعْرَفُ الْمَرْءُ بِخَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلِ. A person is known by the company he or she keeps. So each one of you, be careful whom you have befriended, whom you have allowed into your company. Not everyone who wants to be your friend should be allowed to be your friend. You need to vet that. And you need to literally use a strainer. As we use to separate tea leaves from the tea, we need to separate the good from the bad when it comes to our friends. Disassociate ourselves from those who are evil. Because if we have bad company, even if we are good, that bad company will brush off onto us. Because we have been guaranteed that by the Quran and by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is why, if you want your child to be married, or if you want to marry, look at the company of your spouse before you marry. What type of people does he or she mix with? That will give you an idea of what type of a person the person is. When you have fish in the sea, the fish of one type move together in a school. You will not find one whale, one small fish, one kingfish, one something else all together moving together. No, they are fish who have something in common, they move together. The same applies with us. When you see a people moving in a group, you know that they have something in common. Either they are on drugs together or either they go to the masjid together. May Allah protect us all. So, when looking for a spouse, look at the friends of a spouse. This is what will help you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, you also need to look at the family. The family meaning, what type of people are they? What type of people are they? And he says that there are certain qualities that generally people look at. Some people look at the wealth. Some people look at the lineage, which is the family. Some people look at the beauty, and some people look at the religious level. Then he says, become successful by making the religious level the main deciding factor. What does that mean? That means it is not wrong to look at how good looking the girl is. It's not wrong. You can. But if she has no religion, then opt for someone else. You can compromise the first three things, but don't ever compromise the last thing. Some of the youngsters, when I have spoken on this topic in the past, they've come to me and told me, so what do you mean we must marry someone whom we don't even like what they look like? I said, no, that's not true. The hadith says, look at everything. Consider everything, but your final deciding factor must be religion. For example, you find someone, they are not acceptable the way they portray themselves or maybe the way they look, according to your taste. But at the same time, their religious level is very high. We are not telling you to marry them, but we are telling you, you can get someone else who might look in your eyes a little bit better, but their religious level is similar to that. And if you continue hunting, you will find, subhanallah, you will find. And you should know that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. Some people might like a certain type of look, whereas others might consider that not good looking. Then you have what we consider extremely good looking, others might consider it not good looking. And do not let your deciding factor be the movie stars, because you will be living in a constant dream and you will be losing and lacking contentment throughout your life. Even the movie stars, when they have a child or two, what happens? You find a wrinkle or two, a stretch mark or two. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Then sometimes they themselves also have to give it up. They have to give it up. So in Islam, we have a very broad understanding of what to look at. And we are guided in the right light to say, look, try and make your decisions and make them correctly. Knowing that when you have based your decision on religion, or on the level of character and conduct, the spirituality of an individual, that is bound to improve as the days pass. But if it is based on wealth, there is no guarantee that that is going to stay. If it is based on looks, there is no guarantee that that is going to stay. And if it is based on anything else, for example, the dignity of a person, Allah can take away the dignity of anyone at any time, if He so wishes. May Allah protect our dignity. And may He grant us all a level of piety. If we take a very careful look at the verses of the Quran which speak about marriage, we will come across some beautiful verses where we did not even presume that these verses are actually teaching us what type of a spouse to look for. Let me mention some of these verses. In Surah Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He created the earth and how He created humans and so on. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says,
وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُم مِّن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا.
He says how He has created you from a seed, how He has created you from soil, from dust, and how thereafter He has made you into pairs, male and female. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. He is mentioning how He did it. And after that, He continues a verse or two later. He says,
وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْبَحْرَانِ هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ سَائِرٌ شَرَابُهُ وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ.
The two oceans are not equal. Very interesting. The two oceans are not equal. One side will be very sweet, the water, and the other side will be salty. One side will be drinkable, the other side will be not drinkable. One side will be green, the other will be blue. I know in Cape Town, in South Africa, there is a place where if you stand at a certain level, you will see a line separating the two oceans. Literally a line. This side is warm water, this side is cold water. That side is green, this side is blue. That side is sweet water, this side is salty water. And there is a line. Allah says the two oceans are not the same. Now why does Allah say that? When He is speaking about having created man in pairs, suddenly He speaks about the ocean. There are many reasons. And some of the Mufassirin have gone very deep. Very interestingly, they say that an ocean cannot be an ocean unless there is another ocean holding it up. So you have one ocean. How is it held up with another ocean? And the two are being held up, there is a wall. Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخًا وَحِجَرًا مَحْجُورًا. We have put between the two oceans a barrier and a wall. They will not cross. The fish from one side will die if they go to the other side. That's the miracle of Allah. The water is different. The sea life is different. The marine life is different on both sides. Totally. But one is holding the other one up. One cannot do without the other one. I want to draw that example and put it into what we are talking about. A wife is only a wife if she has a husband. And a husband can only call himself a husband if he has a wife. So one is holding the other up. Without a wife, can you say I am somebody's husband? And without a husband, can you say you are somebody's wife? No. So two are holding each other up. And they are two totally different people, because if they are very close, marriage becomes prohibited. If they are mahram, marriage is prohibited. If they are sisters, brothers, marriage is prohibited. They have had two separate, totally different upbringings. But the two come together. What this one is used to, that one may not be used to. But the two are together. They are holding each other up. If one drops, the other one drops with. Allahu Akbar. Take a look at how we are looking at it. That's a miracle. Allah is giving us an example through the oceans. And He is telling us this. Then, He says, وَمِن كُلِّن تَأْكُلُونَ لَحْمًا طَرِيًّا. From both sides you will be able to eat the fresh fish, the fresh meat of fish. So there will be different fish on this side, but you will enjoy the benefit of it. And different fish on this side, but you will enjoy the benefit of it. So husband and wife have different qualities, but the good qualities from this side might be different from the good qualities on that side. But if we join the two, inshallah, we will have something very great. And our offspring will benefit the most. Our offspring will benefit the most. So each man has good qualities. My dear mothers and sisters, look for the good qualities in your husbands and in those men who are closest to you in terms of your family members. No one from amongst us here only has bad qualities. No. I have good qualities and you do. It is just sometimes because of our weakness, we don't expose those good qualities, we expose weak qualities. Let us undertake here and now, all of us, men and women included, that inshallah we will make an effort to expose our goodness rather than exposing whatever is bad in us. Then the hadith continues, in fact it's a verse of the Quran in Surah Fatir which continues, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَسْتَخْرِجُونَ حِلْيَةً تَلْبَسُونَهَا. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, and you can extract jewels that you will be able to wear and benefit from both sides. Now let me give you an example. You find pearls. Pearls are found in the deep sea. Can you take a fishing rod and fish pearls? No, you can't. You need to risk your life to go and look for the pearl. It's a fact. You need to risk your life to go and look for the pearl. But you, when you come out with it, it is something priceless. Even the fish we spoke about moments ago, you cannot just say, fish, come here, and it comes. No. You need to get a rod, a good rod. In fact, let me change that. Not necessarily a good rod, but a decent rod. Because I have seen people fishing. Those with sophisticated fishing rods don't catch. But those with one stick and a little twine, they tend to be catching the biggest fish. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the art of it. So, an effort is required if you want to benefit from the qualities of your spouse. An effort is required to look for the good qualities in your husband. Look for them. without looking, don't think you are going to find those good qualities just like that. And you as a wife enhance those good qualities. The same applies to a man when it comes to his wife. And if you are ready to make a huge effort, you will extract pearls from both sides. There are pearls, hidden diamonds and jewels in the hearts of both male and female. And only if we are to make an effort, we will be able to achieve those pearls. Without an effort, there is no ways we are going to achieve those pearls. So Allah is speaking about pearls here. Look at how we related it to married life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. وَتَرَى الْفُلْكَ He speaks about the ship. When a ship crosses the ocean, no one notices that we are now into another ocean. The captain has to tell you, we have crossed into a new ocean. You won't notice. There is no sudden turbulence. No. You cross straight through. Amazing. What point do we learn from that? When husband and wife have their differences, so that is why we should not be discussing issues. We come out in the public, we come out with other family members and so on. The minor issues, we leave them aside. When someone crosses us, he will notice or they will notice these people are getting on, alhamdulillah, and everything seems to be well, inshallah. I am not saying brush your problems beneath the carpet. No. When it comes to the general public, they must never notice that there is any difference here. Your linen must be cleaned behind closed doors, not in public. Remember that. Do not discuss your marital problems with the general public. And don't even discuss it with people who are not qualified to listen to that problem of yours. Why? Because we do not want to resolve a matter when the whole world still thinks we have a problem. After you have solved your problem, everyone will be talking and saying, but these two don't get along. Yet, you are getting along like a house on fire. So that is why we should not be discussing issues. We come out in the public, we come out with other family members and so on. The minor issues, we leave them aside. When someone crosses us, he will notice or they will notice these people are getting on, alhamdulillah, and everything seems to be well, inshallah. I am not saying brush your problems beneath the carpet. No, resolve them. But you should know where, when and how to do that. And let me mention one last point of this surah. Allah speaks about, in the same verses, He says, يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ Subhanallah. Allah says, we have caused the night to come after the day and the day to come after the night. This verse is mentioned straight after He speaks about how He created man in pairs. So now, you find some of the Mufassireen very interestingly say, when the night is long, the day becomes short automatically. And when the day is long, the night becomes short automatically. One compensates the other. Subhanallah. When there is a shortcoming in the wife, the husband covers up. When there is a shortcoming in the husband, the wife covers up. Makes up for that. The two of them together are one complete circle. Which part of it is more or less is none of my or your business. Allahu Akbar. The fact that together they form the circle, that is a successful marriage. So we will not necessarily have 100% compatibility. But if we have 80, inshallah we've got a lot. Alhamdulillah. A person who is extremely fussy in life, they will not be able to live happily in their homes because everything you wanted your way. Your way. Why? In my part of the world, they say, it's my way or highway. Which means, you either do it my way or go on the road and start walking. I don't want you. My way or highway. May Allah protect us. If that is the attitude, then tomorrow someone will do the same to us. We cannot let that happen. One day you let things pass in your way, and the other day you let them have it their way. The major religious issues, we will have it the way Allah wants it. But we are talking of minor issues. And this is why you need to know that we as men need to give priority to the women's opinion and listen to it and take it seriously. and then either adopt it or explain to them why we are not adopting it. Many times men just want to show their authority, so they say, no, your view means nothing. Yet she has come up with a better idea than ours. It's a fact. So that is why we are taught that if you want to reject a view, no problem, but explain why. Try to explain why. Sometimes they won't ask you why, but if you say it, it enhances the love. That look, you know, you have a very valid point, but I was just thinking of this point here. You know, like for example, and I've given this example in the past, in other places. If a salesman is trying to sell you a motor vehicle, you want to buy a Mercedes-Benz, and the showroom only has the color black, and you don't want black, you want white. What is the job of a salesman? To sell you the black, to convince you it is better. 2 days later, if there is only white, he has to convince that white is better. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because he needs to sell the product. He needs to sell his product. So you find you will enter, and amazingly, you will say, I'm looking for a white Mercedes. You'll say, but why do you want white? You know, white is, it can become dirty and so on. You know, you rather take black. It's a dignitary's vehicle. Very elegant. Very. He won't tell you how difficult it is to maintain the color black. He will say, no, it is a beautiful motor vehicle. It will shine from a distance. You won't have problems. You know, at the roadblocks, they won't stop you. Because black vehicle, Mercedes-Benz, is a dignitary. And you'll say, oh yes, you're nodding your head. You don't know he's selling his car. Then you tell him that, you know, but black, when it is scratched, you can see the scratch from a distance. He'll tell you, no, that's a minor issue. In fact, with white, it is even worse. You say, oh, okay, that's fine. You bought his story. You bought the black vehicle. Few days later, you went with your friend who saw your car and he likes it. You went in and they only have a white one. The same salesman shamelessly will promote the white one. Shamelessly. Why? That's his job. Now with us, what happens is, in our homes, we can't even use our brains a little bit. I am not saying to con our spouse, no. But to convince them to say, look, this opinion of yours is excellent, but I would like to suggest X, Y, and Z. Alhamdulillah, sell your product. It is much more beneficial for you and enhancing your love. Some people from amongst us might be salesmen and women. We put a greater effort to selling a vehicle than to selling our opinion to our spouse. Allahu Akbar. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. We put a greater effort to selling a vehicle to a salesman, and that is our field, meaning to a person. That's our field. But we can't spend 5 minutes to think, how am I going to convince my spouse about my opinion here? And we make it a big issue. Another thing is, when the push comes to the shove, if it is not a very important issue, give in. Give in, don't worry. Let them have it their way. I'm talking here both male and female. Minor issue. Look, we want to buy a car. What color? Blue or green? Never mind, have it your way. Next time I will decide, inshallah. So when there is a big issue, where do we go on holiday? Then you decide, inshallah. Why? Because the last time you decided the color of the vehicle, which is extremely small, you are still going to get the car. Like some people, what they do, and I'm not giving you tips as men, but I'm just letting you know. Some people, what they do is, they know that there will be a problem as to what type of vehicle we are going to purchase. So let me involve my wife as to the color. So I tell her, look, you know what? We are getting a BMW. But now what should we buy? I'm confused. Green or blue? So you wanted the BMW that you didn't even speak about. You let it pass. You let it pass. And you made her feel, subhanallah, that you know what? I am so important that I am actually deciding what color it is. And to you, you know that that is something minor. I've already pulled cotton wool over her eyes. And I've decided what vehicle it is. You know, it happens to the scholars of deen. Someone emailed me a few days ago and told me that, in fact, let me change the example slightly, just in case it fits into someone. There is a person who advertises alcohol as part of the advertising company. So the question posed was, what do we do with the money that comes in from advertising alcohol? Have you noticed how intelligent? They don't know I am a person who gives these examples in my speech. I will not be fooled by that. I say, hang on. We will first talk about whether it's allowed to advertise or not. So an intelligent wife will tell you, hang on. We will first talk about whether it's a BMW or not. Forget the color. You can decide that. So we need to understand this, that there is tact. Look at how we are enjoying listening to it. Imagine what type of joy you will get when it works. Allahu Akbar. But we need to think. We need to think. You know, if you take a look at other verses in the Quran, which have also explained to us how the marital life should be and how the family life should be. I normally love to give one example. And that example is the example of the dream of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. You may have heard it, you may not have heard it. Let me repeat it.
إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ
الله أكبر. Yusuf عليه السلام, the prophet Joseph, may peace be upon him, he tells his father one day that, oh my father, I have seen a dream. I saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon, prostrating to me. Now the father was Jacob, may peace be upon him. Yaqub alayhi salam. So he said, oh my son, you know, keep it to yourself because your brothers might become jealous of you and what have you. He said a lot of things. Cut a long story short, get to the end of the surah, Yusuf, where the interpretation of that dream becomes a reality. What happened? Those 11 stars depicted whom? They depicted the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, 11 brothers. This is now at the end of the story. The son that he saw prostrating to him depicted whom? The dream came true. I'm sure many of us are aware of it. The son depicted his father, Yaqub alayhi salam. The moon depicted his mother. If you want to know the examples and the dreams of the Anbiya and the prophets of Allah are 100% in their place. They cannot be wrong and they are looked at from every angle. They are correct. Now, standing here thinking that I need to discuss as many angles as possible in the short time connected to family life and marriage, what comes to my mind is the fact that this dream of Yusuf alayhi salam already depicts everything regarding family life. How? The relationship that the stars have with the sun and the moon and the moon has with the others and so on should be the ideal scenario in my home and in yours. Still, we might ask, how?
The sun has certain qualities. What are the qualities of the sun? The sun shines bright. Correct?
Yes. It gives you a sense of security, doesn't it? These are all qualities of the father of any home. A successful father of any home should have the same qualities that the sun has. Shining bright, giving the sense of security. Plants photosynthesize in the sun. Life progresses. The sun comes with a lot of goodness. The stars are there during the daytime. They are there. But can you see them? No. Because the brightness of the sun is such that that is the most significant element at that moment. So the stars which are depicting the children, they are there. But when the father is in the house, the father is that significant figure of the home, who provides the comfort, the security, the sense, you know, the children go out to play at that time. People feel good. There are so many other qualities that the sun has, which are required within ourselves if we want to be successful fathers. When you look at the sun, can you see it directly? No. If you look at the sun directly, it will affect your eyes. Maybe we could say that the respect we have for our fathers, not that we don't look at them, but we respect them to the degree that we allow them to play their role. Father has the power of making certain decisions in the house that others don't have. Let's look at this, the moon. When the moon is out, it is very beautiful. Do you agree? It has a calmness to it. Do you agree? You can look at it and admire it directly. The relationship between the children and the mother is such that the stars only twinkle at night. When the moon is out, the stars are also there playing around, flashing. MashaAllah. So that should depict a close relationship between the mother and the children. Not to say that the relation between the father and children is not close. It is close, but of a slightly different nature. And the moon has every quality that a successful mother in the home should be having. And the stars, mashallah, we know that they are there. They are there all the time, but you can see them at night. They have that twinkling. Let me give you another quality of the moon, just for interest's sake. The moon is not always the same. It's either a full moon, or it's a crescent, or it's a crescent this way, or a crescent the other way. We know that. And there are certain days when it's not there. It's not there. Why? A moon goes through a 28-day cycle. Subhanallah. And so does a female. And it is amazing how the temperaments of a female change through the days of the month. May Allah grant our mothers, all of them, success. And may He grant them a reward for what He has imposed for them to go through in terms of physical changes. It is something that is so great. It is something that really a lot of men take for granted. Do you know the bearing of a child is such a big struggle and jihad that those stretch marks that develop on the belly need to be kissed by the father of those children in appreciation of what was done. Allahu Akbar. They are as close to death as a whisker, and yet people take that for granted. And sometimes after they have born 4 or 5 children for you, then you start saying, you know what? She's no longer pretty enough. Let me go to that side there. Allahu Akbar Kabira. We need to appreciate what Allah has given us. Now, the final point I want to raise regarding the issue of the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam and how it fits into the family home is, you know, when the sun comes in the place of the moon and the moon comes in the place of the sun, what do we get? What do we have? The moon, it happens. The moon comes in the place of the sun. And the sun comes in the place of the moon. There is an eclipse. Am I right? There is an eclipse where neither the sun nor the moon is of any benefit. Nothing. Do you see the stars? No, not at all. Nothing. And the hadith says, it may be a sign of Qiyamah. There's one narration which speaks about an eclipse just prior to Qiyamah. In fact, some of the scholars say that there is a prophecy that, a solid prophecy, that the sun will rise from the other side, rise from the west. When will that happen? Some of the scholars say immediately after an eclipse. Instead of the sun continuing, it will move back. A sign of Qiyamah. So now, when the mother wants to play the role of the father in the house, and the father wants to play the role of the mother in the house, and the two of them mix their roles, what do you get? You get a social eclipse, where both of them become insignificant. And who suffers the most? The stars, the children. They are in total loss, chaotic situation, and it is a sign of Qiyamah. When a woman wants to be a man and a man wants to be a woman, it's a sign of Qiyamah. This is something that we need to think of. And this is happening. We are seeing so many social eclipses in so many homes because people don't realize that in Islam, we are meant to play our role. That's what makes you successful. Not to change your role. Play it properly. You are the mother, you will remain the mother. Have the qualities of a mother. Speak in a way that you are looked at as a mother. But if you speak in a very harsh, arrogant tone in the house, as though you are the father, what would happen? There would be a social eclipse in that home. You know, in my part of the world, when there is a family dispute, they call it social unrest. Social unrest, meaning there is a big war in the house, a feud in the house, social unrest. And I refer to it as a social eclipse. It's a fact of life. So I'm sure we have learned something from this example. To say, look, if I want to be a successful husband, a successful father, I need to have certain qualities. And I need to ensure that I promote these qualities and I make sure that they are felt from me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors. Now, if we take a look at some other verses of the Quran, and this is the last set of verses I'd like to go into, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes women folk in the second surah of the Quran, Surah Baqarah. And he says,
هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ.
He speaks about the women folk, the wives, and he says, they are like clothing unto you, and you are like clothing unto them. That is not a shallow verse. It's a very deep verse. Very deep verse. What is clothing? All of us are wearing something tonight. Is anyone wearing a size that does not fit them completely? No. When you want to shop for your clothing, you look for something appropriate for yourself. When you are shopping for a wife, please look for something appropriate for yourself. We are not talking of size, as in big or small, but we are talking of a general human being. What type of a person do you have? Someone that fits in your life or someone that does not fit? Have you ever seen a man who is size 12 wearing a size 8? He won't fit in it. He will look foolish. The same applies if you are a person who is looking for a certain type of a spouse, make sure that you are heading in that direction. And if you are not sure, then get help. Like what happens when you are going to get your clothing, you try it on, for example, you ask people, look, this is the clothing, what do you think, is it a good idea, what's the brand name, and so on and so forth, and what have you, and alhamdulillah, you will then make a decision, especially when it is something expensive and important. That is clothing, that's only one aspect of clothing. Let me give you another aspect. In winter, we have a different type of clothing. In summer, we have different type of clothing. Because that clothing is supposed to protect us from the adverse outside environment. When it is cold, we will wear warm in order to protect us from adverse outside environment. And when it is hot, we will wear something light for the same reason. So when we are married, we are meant to provide protection to our spouse from adverse outside effects. You will protect the dignity and respect of your spouse. You will protect the dignity and respect and honor and name of your spouse in the presence of outside factors and other people. Sometimes someone might come to you as a wife and say, but why do you want to keep on defending him? Don't worry, you are doing the right thing. Defend him, no problem. If he doesn't understand today, he will understand tomorrow. And my dear brothers, let us try and understand. Many women are complaining about being oppressed. Myself being a man, I'm embarrassed sometimes. Is it that they are just complaining for no reason? Or are we guilty of something that never used to happen before? I think there is room for improvement on both sides. That's a fact. There is room for improvement with us as men. The hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best from amongst you are those who are best to their wives in particular and family members at large. So if you want to know how good you are, It is not connected to how good you are to those outside the house. Many men have a disease. Many men have a disease. And I can say it because I'm a man. What is that disease? Outside, they greet everyone, they smile, they are happy. You meet a woman whom you are not supposed to talk to. You are so good to them. And your wife is busy standing right next to you. And she's making dua, ya Allah, if he can smile at me once in his life like that, it's enough. Is it not a fact? Wallahi, it's a fact. We act so good to everybody besides those who need that goodness from us most. Allahu Akbar. It's a fact. I think there is room for improvement in that, in everybody's life, including mine. So that is why the hadith says, you want to know a real man, a real good man, ask his wife. If his wife can tell you this man is good, then he is definitely good. I wonder how many of us, our wives would be able to say, this person is good. And believe me, the same applies to the women folk. The same applies to the women folk. Though, I want to stress it more on the men. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is why he says, the best from amongst you are best to your spouse. Those who are best to family members. Behind closed doors, you are a good person. They see your 24/7 movement and activity. The people outside see you for 1 hour. 5 hours. At work, they see you for a little while. They don't see your tantrums when you get home. The type of food you want, Allahu Akbar, that is a topic on its own, we don't have time for it. The type of food. People become so fussy for small things. Remember one rule, it's a law that has been created by counselors, people who counsel for when it comes to marriage and social matters. They say, if you are fussy, it is an ingredient of disaster. If you are fussy, it is an ingredient of disaster, both male and female. Especially in a married home. You are very fussy. You want everything your way. This must be here, that must be there, this must this, this must that. You are too fussy. Then it can create a disaster because that is an ingredient for disaster. So Allah says, they are like clothing unto you, you are like clothing unto them. Let me inform you of another point connected to that verse. When a person has had an operation on their stomach, may Allah protect us all, or anywhere on their bodies, big operation with 20, 30 stitches. Can you see that? No, you can't. Why? It's covered with clothing. It is an aib. Aib meaning it is something negative. It is something that you would not like to show everyone. No one who has had a bypass or operation here would leave their buttons open to show the world that I have had a bypass. No one. Why? It is regarded as something. It is a medical situation, you have had to go through it. May Allah grant us all good health. Ameen. Those who have heart problem, may Allah grant them cure. So clothing, one of the jobs of clothing is to cover your weak points. To cover that which might not make you as beautiful as you seem you are. Allahu Akbar. The same applies when you marry. Each spouse owes the other some form of protection and beautification from their weakness. Why? We see their weakness and we know it. We should not expose them. We should not expose them. Obviously, someone might say, well, you know, what if I am being oppressed to a certain degree that I can't even take it? Well, in that case, you need to seek help. We are not saying don't seek help. But when we talk of exposing, we mean going out to the public. Like what is happening nowadays, people in the Western world, after divorce, they write a big article in the paper to say how the wife was. And they write a huge article, they have a documentary on television to say that this is how this particular person was, especially when they are celebrity. May Allah protect us. Remember, when I use the word celebrity, it is in the Western understanding. For us, those people who are known as celebrities, I promise you, I mentioned it in today's talk, most of them, their lives are in a state of chaos. Believe me. They are confused. A lot of them have to have sleeping tablets in order to just sleep for a few hours. Because they are totally at loss. So, here we have the clothing. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Now, in order to close the topic for tonight, I'd like to make mention of several pointers. Very interesting pointers. Number one is, be careful how you speak to your spouse. Be careful how you speak to your spouse. And
you should know that how you speak in the house, that is how your children will be speaking, and maybe even worse. So those whose children have swear words, they've either got it from the parents or from the television. Or maybe from the school you sent them. So make sure you send them to the correct schools. Don't worry, sometimes what happens is you have a school with an Islamic bias. Maybe the education level there might not be as grand as somewhere else. But you as a parent needs to weigh the pros and cons. Am I prepared to send my child to sacrifice a little bit of the secular side, but they will have proper Islamic upbringing? Or am I ready to forgo the Islamic upbringing because I just want some secular gain? I don't think any doctor from amongst us seated here tonight was ever asked before they treated a patient that, "Dr. Saab, tell me, what was your O-level result?" Never. He might tell you, "I failed 4 times. You say, "Doctor, I'm going to another doctor." So, what exactly you achieved at O-level, it's very important. But, inshallah, if there is a difference, a small difference, it will not really affect whether you have success in your life or not. But, if you have got your religion and if you have got your character and conduct in order, then definitely it will play a large role in your success in this world. I tell you why. If you know that there is a school where people are very mischievous and they have a reputation of drugs or something, you would be foolish to send your child there even if the results are the best in the country. You would be foolish. Because your child can be top result, but if they are on drugs, they are worth nothing. Believe me. They rather have had 9 B's instead of 9 A's and not on drugs than to have 20 A's but on drugs. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is why it is so scary nowadays to bring up children. We need to hunt for the solutions. But with us as Muslims, the solutions are there. We don't want to follow them because we think that we know better sometimes. And we want to follow the trends of others whom I have just proven to you, they have not achieved success. Allahu Akbar. So we need to be careful what type of an image we portray within our houses, what decisions we make. We need to treat our children with respect and our spouses with respect. If we want respect, we will have it by respecting others. If you respect, you shall be respected in return. When you do not respect your children, you will not be respected at all. And one very important pointer is, please open the doors of communication with your children completely and totally, especially in today's world. So many daughters complain that, "I can't talk to my parents. I can't tell them what's in my heart." So many. So then who are they going to confide in? They need to tell you whatever they want. They might be fearing how you are going to react if they let you know. Don't react like a hooligan. Whatever problem they have, Allah has placed it on your shoulders as a parent to help them and assist them through that problem. So there are people who have created a distance between themselves and their sons or daughters. No communication. Talk to them on a daily basis. I normally tell people to have one meal minimum. And this we are talking to those business people and busy people. To have one meal minimum a day with your family sitting together is worth more than $10,000 in the month. Believe me. Because what is the point of you earning $100,000 a month, but your family is in great disorder? What's the point? That money is worth nothing. You will not buy contentment and happiness. So that is also a solid point to say, let us spend quality time with our spouses. Another very important pointer is the issue of trust. Many people lose trust for small matters. There are 2 points regarding trust. One is, don't allow someone to doubt you unnecessarily. People are very possessive of their mobile phones. That itself is one sign to me. When someone can't even let you touch the phone to dial to make an emergency call, there is something wrong. Why? And that's a fact. Ask yourself, how attached am I to my mobile phone? If you are extremely attached to it, there may be something wrong that you are doing. May Allah protect us. So when you are constantly on that phone, you are automatically allowing people to doubt you. May Allah protect us. Why I'm giving you this example is just to show, by way of example, that don't let people doubt you purposely. And at the same time, never ever doubt unnecessarily. Because doubt is a sickness, like a cancer, that really has very small chances of being cured. May Allah grant us all shifa. Those who may be suffering with cancer, may Allah grant them shifa as well. If someone has doubt in their mind about their spouse, I don't think there is an easy remedy to take that out. So don't doubt for nothing. You'd rather live a happy life without that doubt than to live a life of misery doubting for the rest of your life. It's very important. Don't doubt them. There must be the trust. Then there must be love in the home, complete love. You know, we take a look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many people don't know that the greatest romance that we could ever write about is that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with Aisha radiallahu anha. Do you know what? I want to give you one or two examples so that you can understand what I'm saying. And I've used the word romance intentionally because some people think that no, when you are religious, then you know, you must just sit back and relax. You know, there's nothing like romance. That's your wife. We are not talking of something haram. That is your husband. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make his wife blush. She was known as Humaira, Aisha radiallahu anha. Humaira meaning someone with red cheeks. She used to blush regularly. And when it came to putting her on a camel, he would always help her up. Always help her up to make sure, look, she's getting, not to say, right, get there on your own. How many of us open the doors of the motor vehicles for our own wives when the car is not a new car? It's a question. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well, he raced with her on more than one occasion. Racing meaning when he was old and when he was older, he raced with her. So the first time he won, the second time she won. According to one of the narrations, if I'm not mistaken, about who won. But I know one won one time and the other won the other time. He raced with her, quite a distance. Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We speak about it. How many of us would ever dream that that was a sunnah? He raced with her. He actually raced with her. And if you go to Madinatul Munawwara, if someone knows what they are talking about, they will show you the area where the racing took place. Then, there are incidents. And remember, these are just examples. We can't go into everything. Where, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was eating a piece of meat with Aisha radiallahu anha, he picked it up. He looked at her with the corner of his eye, making sure she was looking. In fact, no. When she ate part of the piece, he looked at her. He seen where she bit. As she put it down, listen carefully, he then put his hand and he picked the piece and he rolled it intentionally. He rolled it looking at her with the corner of his eye, finding exactly where she bit. And when he found the spot, he looked at her with the corner of his eye and he bit the same spot and he made her red. He made her blush. Subhanallah. Now, can you get an example greater than that? Most of us don't even want to share the same plate with our wives, yet we share the same bed. Allahu Akbar. Because of hygiene. They say, no, you know it's dirty. Why do you want to share one plate? You eat, I eat. There's saliva from your mouth. But bhai, what are you talking about? Here is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He literally moved the piece of meat to find the place where she bit so he could bite from it, making it known to her what he is doing. Allahu Akbar. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no aspect of life that he was not the perfect example in. So these are some of the examples that we have heard tonight. And I'm sure there's a lot of food for thought. A lot. And I hope we can go home and enhance the noor in our houses by being good people. Why should we make life difficult for others? We ask Allah to grant us on this eve the ability to solve and resolve our matters. Anyone who is going through marital turbulence, may Allah help you to resolve it. The Quran says, إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. When both parties intend to solve the problem, Allah will grant them the solution. But when one party does not want to solve it, then you can forget about it. If both parties want to solve, they both have the same intention. I want to solve, you want to solve. Then we will solve. But if one party does not want to solve the matter, you will never ever resolve the issue. And that is why what has happened in the past, don't raise it every time. Don't. You need to have a cut-off point where you start from. Look at the way forward. Don't get bogged down with the past. That is also a very, very important rule when it comes to counseling. The Islamic counseling of marriage. When people have marital problems, you don't look at what has happened all the time. You can raise it, yes. And you can make sure that you've made it known that this is what had happened. But that's it. It stops there. You take an undertaking from that moment and you carry on in life. Otherwise, everybody will have problems. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors for us. I think I've said a lot with the brothers that are standing there, those that are standing at the back as well. I feel obviously that it is time now for us to make a little dua, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all goodness. And at the same time, we can go home this evening, really, with lots and lots of joy and happiness, with the intention of converting our homes into real homes full of happiness, beaming with joy and contentment, inshallah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Allahumma anta Allahu la ilaha illa anta, anta al-ghani wa nahnu al-fuqara. A'inna fi umurina kulliha wa ajirna min khizy ad-dunya wa adhab al-akhirah. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. We have committed so many sins. You are most forgiving, most merciful. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. We have committed so many sins. We have lost count of what we've done, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Make us from amongst those whom you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Grant us happiness in our marriages, Ya Allah. Grant us happiness in our families, in our homes, Ya Allah. Help us to resolve matters and not to create disputes, Ya Allah. Help us to be from amongst those who can resolve matters and issues, and do not make us from those who are known as troublemakers, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us all, grant us good health. Grant us good health and grant us barakah and blessings in our wealth and in our sustenance and in all our affairs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you every form of goodness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you. And we seek protection from all evil that he has sought protection from. Ya Allah, those who are married, grant them children who will be the coolness of their eyes. Those who have children already, make those children the coolness of their eyes. Those who are not married, grant them spouses who will be the coolness of their eyes. Ya Allah, protect the children of this ummah, the women folk of this ummah, the men folk of this ummah, and all the members of this ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to be shining examples and shining stars, Ya Allah. Make us all role models to our own family members, Ya Allah. Help us to be the best of people, Ya Allah. Help us to learn to resolve matters, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us a lesson from this evening's talk, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us a turning point this evening, Ya Allah. And we ask you to make us from those who will be content and happy, Ya Allah. From those who can appreciate our spouses and family members, Ya Allah. From those who communicate correctly with their own children and parents, Ya Allah. From those who can make dua for their parents who have passed away, Ya Allah. From those who can make dua for those who are alive still, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us all rahmah and mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are your worshippers. We are your slaves. We have raised our hands making dua to you. All those who are sick and elderly and old, have mercy on them and grant them cure from their sicknesses, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, every single one of us seated here has different difficulties, different issues, different problems, different scenarios. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the condition of every single individual seated here, Ya Allah. Help every one of us in our own problems and our own issues and our own matters, Ya Allah, and our own sicknesses, Ya Allah. Grant us all cure and grant us all forms of goodness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who have passed away, grant them mercy. And the day you take us away, have mercy on us as well, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you all this. And Ya Allah, we know that you have responded, Ya Allah. Antal musta'an, alayka al-balagh. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.